All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to James chapter number 1. James chapter 1. If you looked around our world, our society these days, what do you see? Do you see a lot of happy people? Or do you see a lot of angry, miserable people? I see a lot of anger. You turn on the radio and it's just, everyone's complaining about somebody. Today I want to talk about how to be happy. Wouldn't that be nice if you could just be happy? Well, the Bible actually talks about this, and we've got this in our passage here. We're in James chapter number 1, beginning here in verse number 19. And those verses that follow are one main thought. There's a paragraph here. And the Bible, pick it up here in verse number 19. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man, or if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass," that's referring to a mirror. "For behold, he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for its clarity. Thank you how rich it is, how powerful it is, and how life-changing it can be. Thank you that you've given us all the answers to life problems right here in the Bible. And I'm glad, Lord, that when we follow it, we find it true, that it is helpful. And Lord, sometimes we don't follow it. And then we discover that we're not happy. And I just ask that you will speak to our hearts and help me, Lord, to say the right things and watch over what I say and just guide me, Lord. I need help. And Lord, we all need to listen. We all need to apply something from this passage. We just ask that you'll be glorified through it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you want to be happy? Do you want to have a blessed life? I don't like to be sad all the time. You ever find yourself saying, "Man, I just wish I was happy." You see other people smiling. You say, "Man, I wish I was like them. I wish I was happy." And maybe you've even prayed, "Lord, can I be happy today?" And, you know, we just get miserable sometime, you know, our we got such a long face, our jaw is dragging on the ground, and it's not a good place to be. Multitudes in this world, they spend their entire lives looking for happiness, and they never find it. We always put happiness based on some thing that we get or acquire or something like that. And many things that in life, they bring us pleasure for a short time, but then we lose our happiness with them. You know, you get that new car, and you park it in the parking lot, and some jerk opens his door right into your door and leaves a big dent. You're not real happy, are you? And then it breaks down. I remember the first car I got, I'm going down the highway, and all of a sudden it just goes boom, and it stopped running. I said, "Oh, man." I was so happy having my little Mercury Capri RS Turbo. It was used, by the way. But I thought it was something. And, yeah, it was something all right on the side of the road having to call a tow truck. Oh, it gave me happiness, and it gave me a lot of grief. And the people, "Oh, man, I can't wait to get my own house." And then you get that house, and then the basement floods, the hot water heater goes out, the roof starts leaking, and then all you got all this money that you don't have that you got to start paying to fix this thing up. You say, "Why did I want a house when I had a landlord that took care of all that?" You're real happy when you get that promotion at work, you get all that extra money, but then you're not so happy when all the extra stress piles on you for the responsibilities that you're going to carry. Man, I just wish I would have been happy back with my old position. You know, a lot of times happiness seems to be evasive, and that's because we tend to base our happiness on our circumstances. If everything's going well, I'm happy. You know, if the sun's shining, I'm happy. If it's cloudy, I'm sad. If I've got a lot of money in my wallet, I'm happy. If I have nothing in my wallet, I'm sad. Everything's based on our circumstances. That's not how God wants it to be. That's how we want it to be, or that's how we make it. And the world will offer us happiness. It'll offer a temporary fix for our problems. A lot of people look to the world. They look to sin to make them happy. And they think that, you know, hey, drinking will make me feel good. And then you wake up and your problems are still there. In fact, you'll probably have more problems because of what you did when you were drunk the night before. People think, you know, sexual immorality is going to make them happy. It maybe for a short time. But all the relationships that you destroy in the process, that's not going to bring happiness. All the adultery and all. Gambling. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be happy when I pull that thing and I win. And when you don't win, and then when you don't win, and 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 then you're having to find money that you don't have, and you're borrowing money, and you're stealing money, and then you're in huge debt, and you're in big trouble. Oh, that's really happy, isn't it? No, it's not. People think, hey, you know, I'll just... Give me a little buzz. Let me have a little pill here, a little pill there. People think, you know, pornography, all sorts of things they think are going to make them happy. But in the end, it brings guilt. It brings shame. It brings depression. And it doesn't fix your problems. It's temporary. And the result of our sin is trouble and heartache. It's not happiness. Now, in fact, the first two verses that we read in our text here, verses 19 and 20, let's go back there and read them again. This shows us how prone we are to get ourselves into trouble. Before he even gets to being blessed and happy, he's talking about trouble here. He says, "For the wrath," verse 19, "wherefore, my beloved brethren," he's giving us a warning, "let every man be swift to hear." You know, he's telling us we better be quick to listen. Problem is, we don't listen to anybody. That's the problem. A lot of kids get in a lot of trouble that way, don't they? They don't listen. And a lot of us big kids, we get in trouble that way too. We don't listen to work. We get in trouble. We won't listen to anybody. And that doesn't lead to a good, happy life. Then he says, slow to speak. You know, the problem is we run our mouths. Sometimes we speak before we think. And something comes out and it's like, oh, that was stupid. I shouldn't have said that. It was too late. You already said it. That's the problem with social media. You can comment on anything without sitting there thinking about it. Then it's out there for the whole world. And you can't take it back. Because you post it on someone else's thing and they control it and you don't. We don't think before we speak. And sometimes we just don't know when to shut up. And we get ourselves in trouble. Brings a lot of friction to a lot of relationships. And then it says, we should be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We get angry when things don't go our way, right? I want it my way. When it doesn't, I'm mad. And what happens when you get angry? Do something stupid, don't you? It's what the Bible says. Look at verse 20. It says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." And so we're not going to be happy. We want happiness. But these things don't bring happiness. They bring heartache. We mess a lot of things up in life. So what's the solution? Well, verse 21 begins the solution right there. He says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." Superfluity just means a whole bunch of it. "And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." So what do we need? Verse 21 says we need the word. It's able to save us. Not only deliver our souls from hell, but also deliver us from continuing to be a slave to sin. And so if we want to be happy, according to verse 21, we've got to have a good relationship with God's word. Now drop down there and look for verse number 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's talking about the Bible, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, two important things are mentioned here. The perfect law of liberty, and another word, blessed. We just said that the perfect law of liberty is the word of God. It's the Bible. Then it mentions that word blessed. That word blessed means to be happy. So, put those two together. There's a direct correlation between the word of God and happiness. That can't be separated. True remaining happiness, not just based on circumstances. I mean, we think sometimes, how on earth can the Apostle Paul be in jail and be writing the words, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Because his happiness didn't come from his circumstances. I'm sure he wasn't comfortable. I'm sure he didn't like being in prison. But it didn't determine what was going on in his heart. And that's what happens with us. We allow all the externals to determine what happens inside of our heart. And it's not what's supposed to happen. And we have to fight this. But again, a good relationship with the Word of God is going to help us. And so I want to consider three simple requirements that are given from this passage of Scripture that we need in order to be happy. Just three simple things. Well, they're simple, but we don't always do them. That's why we're not always happy. So if we could get this down and then do what it says, then we'll have happiness. Okay? And if we don't meet all three, there's no promise of being blessed, because he said there's three things there in verse 25. So I want to see these three requirements. The first one is to look. So they're look, linger, and live. Okay, the first one is look in the Word. Look into the Word of God. Look there with me again in verse 25, because verse 25 has all three of them there. He says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. That word looketh, you know, it's looking. And earlier it talks about the Word kind of being like a mirror. Man looks into the glass. It's talking about a mirror. You know, something happens when you looked in the mirror this morning. It happens every time you look in the mirror. I mean, if you really look. The mirror speaks to you, doesn't it? Well, in a sense it does. It says, wash your face. Right? Fix your hair. Oh, yeah. Fix your hair. Brush your teeth. You know, you look in the mirror and think, oh, I got some stuff right there. That would be a little embarrassing to go out there with, you know, all these things right there in your teeth. Brush your teeth. Some people sometimes ought to take a look in the mirror, right? Where's Brother Ramus? No, the son. This one would be comb your eyebrow. You have to pass that along for him. Teens, this one's for you. The mirror speaks. Pop that pimple. And then for you ladies, cover those blemishes, right? And for the rest of us, we just get up, comb the hair, and get out of there, right? But mirrors point out problems. They show us that there's something that we can and should do about them. And they show us the problems so that we take action. And God's Word is the same way. Okay? It shows us our sin. It shows us what to do, shows us how we can confess it, shows us how to forsake it. It shows us the needs that we have. Sometimes we have a need, we don't even realize we have a need. We come to church and all of a sudden, you know, the pastor's up here, he's preaching away, and you're like, whoa, that hit me right in the heart. I didn't know I had that problem. Good thing you came into church, and good thing the Word of God was like a mirror, and it showed you, and it shows me. And when we read our Bibles in the morning, that's what we're supposed to be doing, and letting the Word of God show us what's going on in our lives. And as we do that, we can see what's wrong and we can take care of it. Now, that word looketh here in the passage has the idea of leaning over and peering into something. It's not a casual glance. It's not like, okay. No, but it's like really looking over and just taking a good look. How did you read your Bible this morning? Did you read it, first of all? But if you did read it, was it, oh, I got to read through this passage. I got to get my devotions done so I can get on and do my other things. Or were you peering in, looking for it to speak to you, looking for something? We ought to be reading God's Word so it can speak to us. When you came to church this morning, were you thinking, man, I hope there's something that I can get from the message today, from the Sunday school lesson, from the sermon? Is there something? I need something. Is there something? Are you looking to get something? We need to be looking into the Word. And God expects us to look intently to find something each day so He can speak to us. It would be kind of foolish to see that you got, you know, a bunch of, you know, dirt on your face, or, you know, the morning's pancakes on the side of your mouth. And you saw it in the mirror and you said, oh well. And you just walked away and didn't do anything about it. You know, you get a mustache and you get, you know, crumbs all in that. And you're like, oh well, save it for later, I guess, right? It'd be kind of foolish to ignore what you see and just do nothing about it. And even more so to ignore what God's Word says about our condition. We come to church, God says something, and go, oh, yeah, it's true, whatever. And we walk our way and don't fix it. Something wrong there. We read our Bible in the morning and God speaks to us and shows us something. And we go, whoa, okay, oh, whatever. That's not how God wants. And we're not going to have a happy life, because now we're going to take this problem into our day, into our life, into the lives of other people. And we're not going to have a happy day and a happy life because we saw, we looked, but we didn't do anything about it. It's even worse when you don't even look, because you don't even see anything. It happened to me one day. I came into the office and I was talking to someone at the front desk for, you know, I don't know, 20 minutes or so about something. I was passing through the office. I saw my wife, and she looked at me, and she's looking up at the top of my head, and I'm like, what's going on? She said, did you comb your hair this morning? I was like, I don't know. I don't think you did. I forgot to look in the mirror before I walked out. You know, usually I, you know, comb that hair, make sure it's all right. And it wasn't combed. And yeah, sure enough, I looked like a dork. And, you know, and whoever, the person I was talking to for 20 minutes didn't even say anything. Like, hey, And so when you don't look in the mirror, you can look kind of silly. And when you don't take time looking into the Word of God each morning, you're going to go out and you're going to look pretty silly in life. Because there's some problems, and you didn't see them, and you didn't address them, you didn't take care of them, you didn't ask for God's help, and you just go on your way like everything's okay. You and I have got to be in the book, looking in, studying it, and letting God show us what's wrong. The Bible's called the perfect law of liberty. You know, sin enslaves, but the Scripture liberates. God wants to give us freedom. Do you have problems? Look in the book for the answers. You got fear? Some people, well, they struggle with fear. They're afraid of everything. You know, the Bible talks about the fear hath torment. He says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So we don't have to be bound in fear. Some people are filled with anxiety and care, and the Bible says that we're supposed to be casting all our care upon Him, for He careth for us. He'll take care of that worry. We don't have to be living in worry. People are living in discouragement. They have marriage problems. They have trouble with their kids, trouble with an addiction. Maybe their finances are a wreck. Temptation's always there, and they always seem to be yielding to temptation. God's Word, taking a look, will give us an answer for all of those things. Whatever the problem is, there is an answer right in here. And we don't look for it. We don't look for it. Verse 21, look at that with me again. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now notice that sin is to be laid aside so that the word can be received. We got to stop focusing on the world and all the sin that's out there. And we need to get our eyes off of those things and put our eyes on what's important. That's God. God's Word, His will. And when you find out what pleases Him in His book, just start doing it. And he'll give you happiness. That word, the engrafted word, engrafted means implanted. That means the word of God needs to be in you and me. It needs to be in us. That means you got to take more than, 30 seconds to read your Bible. It's not filling up too well. We just need to keep filling up. Say, I got problems. Well, fill up. If you're on a long trip on a car, one tank of gas is not going to get you there. You can stop, fill it up, keep on going. Stop, fill it up again, keep on going. And the same thing with the Word of God. We got to fill up. What I read yesterday was good for yesterday, but I need something for today. I got to fill up again. We got to keep filling up. And it needs to be in us. And if you want to be happy every day, you got to have the Word of God in you every day. It's simple. It's pretty simple. So we got to look in the Word. Secondly, got to linger in the Word. Now, notice the next part of verse 25. It says there, "Whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein." The word "continue" means to stay beside something. It means we got to stay beside the Word. In other words, just looking into the Bible, showing up for a church service on a Sunday morning, that's not enough. Because what happens, we forget about what we've heard and seen, and God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to stick by it and stay by it and linger for a while. And let those truths continue with you throughout the day, throughout the week. Now notice the contrast there in verse 24. Go back to verse 24. "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass." I'm sorry, I'm reading verse 23. And for 24, it says, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way." That's the idea. So he sees, but then he goes his way. Instead of continuing, he walks away. Now either you continue in the truth, or you just go away from it. Usually just walking away from it. And staying in the Bible allows us to continue to see those imperfections, see those problems, so that God can continue to help us with them. Going to church on Sunday is good, but that's not enough. You need to read the Bible every day yourself. Okay? Now here's what happens to a lot of people. Now follow with me. They come to church. They get convicted of their sin. They feel terrible. And they know how their sin has hurt them. And they want to change. They really do want to change. They're sitting out there, and maybe that's you today. You're sitting out there going, "Wow, I really need I need help. I need God to change me. I need Him to work in my life." And you want that change. And some will come forward, and they'll get help. They'll pray. They'll get help. And then later in the week, they fail. Why? Well, they looked in the Word, and that was good. They saw the problem. That was good. But they didn't continue in the Word. They didn't pick up that Bible afterwards. They didn't stay with it. David Sorensen was a pastor for a number of years, wrote a lot of books and commentary on the Scriptures. He said, "Therefore, there is a simple yet profound formula for the blessing of God upon your work." So here's the formula. It is the continual absorption of God's Word to the point we actually do it. Just continually absorb the Word of God until you do something with it. Now, let me illustrate that for you. You ever seen one of those water mills? Those big wheels with the paddles on them, and they got, like a river or something, some water running over it, and it's just spinning around. Okay, just say that thing is just stationary. There's no water running over it. And you go up and pour a glass of water on it. What's that going to do? Nothing. It's not going to move it one bit. Maybe put a gallon of water. No, it's not going to spin. Okay, so maybe you get a couple 55-gallon drums. You put those on there. What's it going to do now? It's going to start moving. But what happens when all the water from the 55-gallon drum spills out into the river below and you don't put any more water on top? What's going to happen? It stops. What happens when you see a continual flow of water onto that water mill? It goes, and it just keeps on going. You know what we need? We need the Word of God, not just a little bit on Sunday. And oh, nothing's working. No, because you don't have a steady flow. You get up and have your devotions for a couple days. Hey, it's all right. And then you stop. Things fall apart. What happened? It's not flowing. We need that continual. We need to continue. It's good to look, but we need to linger. We need to let the Word of God, we need to continue in the Word and let the Word be in us. And as we do, it just moves in our life. And we will begin to do what is right. That's what we got to do. In other words, the more we continue in the Bible, the more likely we're going to obey it. So just keep getting in it. You got a problem with something? Just soak your mind with whatever that, with scriptures that'll help you with whatever that problem is. You have a hard time obeying? If so, you need more time in the Bible. It's pretty simple. More time in the Bible, more time in church, more time listening to preaching, whatever it is. And maybe, you know, maybe your past was filled with sin. You know, there's a lot of us who that's the way it was. But your past was filled with sin, and you were just, you know, filling all those desires, and then you found it wasn't satisfying. You came to church, you were touched by God's Word, and it brought joy in your heart like you never had before. There's something moving going on. God's working, now you're having some joy. And you slip back in your sinful ways. You found the same old trouble, same old sorrow. What happened? You didn't continue in the Word. Simple. We got to stay faithful. Got to keep coming to church. Got to come to church more. Got to be in the book every day. You say, well, that's not enough. Get in the book more than once a day. Just keep letting the Word of God work in your heart. And looking in the Word is not enough to be happy. We've got to linger by it. We've got to continue it in it and until it moves us to obedience, just like that water will move that water mill. Just stay in it until it moves you. It'll change you. I told you there's three things. Let me give you the third one. So the first one is that we need to make sure that we look into the Word. Then we need to be linger by the Word. Stay by it. Just continue it. And then third one is live out the Word. You got to live it. Someone put it well when they said, it is easier to preach than to practice. It's easier to say than to do. Most sermons are heard by many, but taken to heart by few. Now, God wants us to do something with what we have heard. He wants us to obey. He wants us to put some action to it. And He promises from that passage, verse 25, quite clearly that He'll bless those who do. Look there, verse 25 again. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, okay, he's looking, and continuing there, he's lingering, staying by it. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a what? A doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. What does that word blessed mean? Happy. This man's going to be happy. We will be happy when we start being a doer of the word and not a hearer of the word only. You've been coming to church for a while. You know what you're supposed to do. And coming to church is great. And knowing what's right is good. But that doesn't make us happy. We're not going to be happy until we do it. Until we follow what God has said. And He said that we're supposed to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. I read this story. There's a new pastor. He goes to this church. And he just preaches this message. It was a powerful message. It was a good message. And the people were all excited. Man, we got the right preacher. Man, we hired the right man. We're so happy. The next Sunday he comes in and he preaches the same message. And they're like, ooh, okay, must have been an oversight. You know, he's just new. He might not have realized he just preached that last week. And then the third week, he preaches the same one. And then the fourth week, they're like, oh, no, we'll see what's going to happen. Yep, he gets up and he preaches the same message. So some of the men pull him aside and they want to talk to him about, you know, what's going on. You preach the same message for 4 weeks in a row. And he said, well, have you put it into practice yet? What he discovered about the people was that they were hearers of the word and not doers. I wonder what it would happen if we did that here. We might not get off the same message for quite a while, some of us, right? So there's two kinds of people. There's hearers and there's doers. Now think about that. In this church, right now sitting here, there's only two kinds of us. Hearers and doers. Hearers and doers. So let's look at three signs of each of them and we'll wrap this up. Three signs to see which one we're going to be. So let's look at the hearer first. And look, notice with me verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now it says that he beholdeth himself. He sees the problem. Okay, we've all come to church. Hopefully we've all come to church before. We've come to church, you've heard the preaching, and you see the problem. You see a problem in your life. Sometimes we see more than one problem. And if you don't, just ask your husband or wife. They'll tell you a few of them. But you see the problem. Instead of doing anything about it, instead of changing, there's three things he does. See if these are what you do. Because if this is what you do, then you're a hearer only. You're not a doer. So what are three characteristics of a hearer? First of all, he flees. He flees. It says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. He sees the problem. We come to church, we read our Bibles in the morning, we see the problem, and we walk away. How do you react to God's word? How do you react when it's preached? If you run from your problems, if we refuse to deal with the sin when God points it out to us, you know what we are? We're a hearer. We can sit in church. We can say, yep, that's right. We can be convicted. Yep, I probably need to do something about that. And we don't. We're just a hearer. But then we convince ourselves, well, I'm not so bad, man. I came to church. I heard. I agreed with the preacher. I agreed with that. That is true. That is good. That is right. That means nothing because we didn't do anything about it. We're a hearer. So what does he do? He flees. Secondly, he forgets. Forgetteth what manner of man it was. Immediately he forgets what kind of guy he was. Now let's go back to that example of the mirror. Calls him in to eat. Now, she says, come on in, wash up. So he goes to the, and then takes his soiled hands and wipes them on that clean towel. You ever find those towels like that? He's like, this Jesus' face is dirty, but that's no concern to him. He doesn't care. He runs down to the table to eat. He's ready to start chowing down. And his mom says, you forget. And she says, your face, you're not going to eat. Forget something? Yeah, he did. He did forget. Why? Because how often do you forget what's preached in church? And why do we do that? Because we're hearers. We've heard. We've seen. Because it's not that important. Now, it became important to that little boy to go wash his face because he wanted to eat. All of a sudden, when we realize that God's not working in our lives, he's not blessing us, he's not answering our prayers, and we're just being a forgetful hearer, it's just out of our mind. Hmm. that little phrase, what manner of man he was. Don't neglect not God's word. Because when we do, we'll forget what we're really like. He's going to flee. This is what this guy is going to do, this hearer. He's going to forget. And then last of all, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Not true. A lot of people in church this morning. Put into practice what they heard at church. Not everybody. Most of us will be back next week, won't we? Now, we may not. What happens is we begin to convince ourselves that because we go to church every week, we're pretty good people. After all, I mean, our neighbors don't go to church like. They are, and so we start justifying ourselves, thinking we're not so bad. And yet we still have. We're just fooling ourselves. God's not tricked. But we are. Do you hear but fail to do anything with it? Signs of being a doer. The doers, what do they do? Well, it's not just a matter of what they do. It says, if any man among you seem to be religious, I like that. Religious. They think they're religious. They might even act like they're religious, but it's just an illusion. They're not. Seems to be religious. And bridleth not his tongue. I mean, he doesn't. Is vain. So a doer of the word is going to be. If we can't control our tongue, the Bible says our religion is what? Word expression of our relationship with God. It just shows that we don't have a relationship with God. Say that. Well, if it comes out, we probably did mean to. Someone once said that what comes up in the bucket was first down in the well. It doesn't come up and out of your mouth if it wasn't first down in. Mouth speaketh, comes out of here. Unkind words, cutting words, angry words, whether it's at home, at work, with fellow believers. To or about authority. If so, Scripture says, your religion. Church. Yeah, but you're not doing anything with what you've been hearing. It's vain. And if we're not a doer, we're not going to be happy. The Bible says we've got to be a doer of the word, and then we're going to be blessed in our deed. Then we're going to be happy with what we do. We're not going to be very happy if we're disobeying and just hearing them. We're not. It'll be reflected in our service. Look there in verse number 27. Pure religion and undefiled, fatherless, and widows in their affliction. You know what a doer does? It's more than talk, it's action. Now, do you tend to think of. Tend to help others and help the helpless. A lot of times it's all. And on that rare occasion, we rise up and we're helpful to someone else. And we're patting. on the back then, taking an advertisement out. Hey, did you see what I did? A doer, he hears about witnessing, and what does he do? He witnesses. Devotions, he doesn't do it. He's fooled himself. He hears about tithing. Oh yeah, people ought to tithe, but it doesn't tithe. Fooling himself. Yeah, but I haven't done it yet, and I'm not going to do it yet. Not a doer, right? Coming out to the evening service to get more of the Word of God. Wow, to help us more. And go. We're just hearers. We're not doers. But God wants us to be doing. And it'll be reflected in our service. We'll start helping other people and finding needs and meeting them. I hear in the ministry. A doer says, I want to help in a Sunday school class. I want to a nursing home or something. The happiest people in the church are the people who serve. The people who do nothing. All they want is to be served. Me here. You perform this for me. You help me with this. It's all about me. That's a so. Yeah, if we're a doer, it's going to be reflected in our speech. It's going to be reflected in our service. And then lastly, it's going to be reflected in our sanctification. That word sanctification means to be set apart for a sacred purpose. In other words, it refers to keeping ourselves holy. Himself, this is pure religion, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Contaminated by the filth of the world. Back in the world, we fill our heads, our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our ears, filled with this junk in the world. Our religion's vain. A hearer, not a doer. We're not going to be blessed. We're not going to be happy. We're going to have misery. I had a dress shirt on. You know, I think it was in the office that day or something. I got under there. I said, just be real careful. No problem. Well, it was a problem. As a result. And that's the thing. Sometimes we think, I'll be real careful. I don't care how careful you are. You play in the dirt, you're going to get dirty. It's just. Can ruin a good shirt, so can sin ruin our usefulness for God. And that's why he says, I'll be careful. You can't be that careful. You can't wade through the filth and think you're going to be okay. Are you spotted by the world's entertainment, by their attitude, by their philosophy? By their dress, by their immorality. See, we think we're pretty good people. We came to church today. Pretty good. It doesn't matter if we come to church. Our religion's vain if we don't live a holy life. Are you a hearer or a doer? If you want to be happy, got to be clean. Got to be clean. You know, you go outside and you work, and you know, you can get hot and sweaty. And you get hot and sweaty, you get dirty, and you're filthy, and then you take a break for lunch, and all that just kind of dries, and it's hard and crusty on you, and you just feel nasty. And you go back and work again, and it starts dripping and sweating, and it's just dirt all over the place again. And you go home. By the time you get home, it's all dried, and you just feel really good, don't you? No. You can't wait to take a shower, clean all that up, and put on some clean clothes, and then, man, you feel good. You feel good. Yeah. You feel good when you're clean. You'll be happy when you obey God. You know, when someone knows they should get saved, they get saved. They're pretty happy, aren't they? Someone knows they should get baptized and they get baptized. We know we're supposed to do something. We know we're supposed to witness to someone and we don't. When we disobey, man, we don't feel good. Why? Because we're here. We're not a doer. So it goes back to this. How we react to the Word of God. We got to be looking into it. We got to be lingering by us. And then we got to live it. We got to not just come and say, oh, that's nice. I know that. Do something about it. And if we do, God will bless us. God wants to give us happiness. He says, moreover, by them, God's words, he says, is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Jesus said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. It's not just hearing. Study it. And do something with it. Live it. Do what it says. It'll spare a lot of grief. It could be that someone's here is not saved today. Your sins are going to take you to a whole. What you need is found in verse 21. Look in verse 21 with me. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. Your sin and turn to the Lord. It says, and receive with meekness, as a humble attitude, the ingratitude of the word. So we need to turn from our sin and receive Christ. And he'll save you. And you'll be happy. You'll be happy. If you need to be saved, I'll tell you.